Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Well, I'm on my way. I don't know where I'm going. I'm on my way. I'm taking my time, but I don't know where. Goodbye to Rose, the Queen of Corona. See me and Julio down by the schoolyard. See me and Julio down by the schoolyard.
Good morning, 8:11 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Beautiful day today. God, gorgeous day today. It really is. It's shorts weather again for sure. Julio Diaz, my good friend who hosts the Pensacola Movie Club and also hosts Let's Go Pensacola, heard here on News Radio Saturdays at 4, joins us now. Julio, welcome back to the program.
Hey, good morning, Andrew.
Good to have you, as always. So only a couple of offerings this week, but one of them I heard from my son is fantastic. John Wick 4, what did you think?
Another really solid entry in this series. I mean, I think all four of these films have been some of the best action films of the past, 10 to 15 years, if not more than that. So, continuing the high mark of quality, if you're looking for a great action movie, you really can't go wrong with this series. I don't know that I'd put it at the top of the series, which the critics are by far. This is by far the best reviewed John Wick movie. It's 95% on Rotten Tomatoes. For me, maybe a little long and a little heavy on the mythology.
How dare you, sir?
This is a long movie. This is almost 3 hours long.
Oh my! Wow.
So that's
extraordinary for an action flick. Okay.
Yeah. So it's a lot, but they're also trying to sum up a lot, because without giving too much away, this kind of does wrap up the John Wick story.
Okay. So we're not going to have a five.
Well, I don't know. We'll see if this makes a ton of money. God knows what they'll do. We know that there's some other stuff being planned in the universe. There's a spinoff movie called The Ballerina that's already been made, that's waiting to come out, with Ana de Armas playing the lead character.
Okay.
And which actually was completely shot before Lance Reddick passed. So Charon will be in it. This is, of course, Lance Reddick, the actor who plays Charon, actually passed away.
Right.
Just in the past couple of weeks. And there is a nice little tribute card at the end of the movie for him. So that's
The concierge at the hotel. Also, you might know him from The Wire and everything else he's been in. I mean, lots of stuff, but that's interesting, because you're right. It is a universe, right? That where you could easily see spinoff stories from the premise of the John Wick. I had not been thinking in that direction.
So we know for sure we're going to see that kind of stuff. Whether we see John Wick himself again, that remains to be seen. I think if we don't, this definitely puts the bow on his story. So it's a satisfying conclusion to the story. I will say which something I don't think has happened in the previous John Wick movies, if I'm remembering correctly, there is a post-credit scene on this movie.
Oh, so do watch to the end past the end. Okay, that's a good note.
Yeah.
We also have The Lost King is coming out today. What's this all about?
Yeah, this is getting pretty good reviews too. This stars Sally Hawkins, and this is based on a true story about an amateur historian who discovered what she believed was the lost burial site of King Richard III in England. I don't think it's a spoiler to say she was right. This is real history here, that this person actually did discover the burial spot had been lost to time, and she found it. And I recall correctly, and again, I don't think this is too spoilery because this is real life, it was in a parking lot. It's just been,
they paved
King Richard's grave and put up a parking lot.
They paved Para Grave, and wow, all right.
To paraphrase the song. Getting pretty good reviews on this. Steve Coogan's also involved in this as both a writer and an actor. So it's got some humor to it, and running about 75% on Rotten Tomatoes.
And what are you guys going to watch next week?
Well, I will be out of town, but I know the big movie next week is Dungeons and Dragons: Honor Among Thieves.
Yes,
which is getting some really, really great early reviews. It debuted at South by Southwest a few weeks ago, got great reviews out of there, and already is running in high 80% on Rotten Tomatoes, which I think is better than anybody was expecting for this. So I am looking forward to seeing it. I don't know that I'll get to see it on Thursday, but I'm very much looking forward to seeing it.
Well, obviously, speaking as a kid who grew up playing and watching the cartoon and then the other versions of this, I'm eager to see what they produce in this because it does. It looks entertaining. Julio Diaz, he is the host of Let's Go Pensacola, 4 o'clock on Saturday here on News Radio and the Pensacola Movie Club. Follow them on Facebook and join the conversation. If you want to go to a movie and have a good conversation about it, that's what they do. Julio, thanks for the time. We'll talk to you next week.
All right, thanks, Andrew.
Absolutely. You know, if you've got a Lexus, a Porsche, a Mercedes, a BMW, an Audi, a Genesis, or a Jaguar, they need to be maintained. Okay, you paid a little extra to get them. You do not have to pay extra to maintain them. You can take them to Bobby Likas Auto Service right here on Davis Highway. Don't have to go to the dealership. Same thing for the, you know, diesel engines. They're a little bit different from the gas engines. You don't have to take that to the dealership. Bobby Likas works on those all the time. And any other car, too, right? I tend to talk about those a lot, but really any car, they work on it. And the point is, they want to see you regularly, so they don't have to see you catastrophically. See you for the little stuff, so you don't have to see them for the big stuff, so the big stuff doesn't happen is kind of the idea. So Bobby Likas Auto Service, rated a 2021 top-rated service center by Carfax, 4.5 average reviews or above, right here on Davis Highway. Candy Cullerton's got traffic on the fives.
And not showing any incidents, really. Be careful. There is an accident on 29 in Diamond Dairy, but it looks like it has been moved off to the side, so it should not cause you too much of a delay. Certainly, if you see something or you have a traffic tip, text it in, 437-1620. This is brought to you by Avalon HR. With everything going on, you need Avalon. That's employing made easy. News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Hey, you've got a plumbing issue, leak, drip, weird sound on the wall when you flush the toilet, temperature, pressure, you know, plumbing. You know what plumbing is, right? Plumbing issues, okay? You call Barbary Plumbing. 477-8782. Flat rate pricing by the job, not by the time it takes. 477-8782.
When you choose your next Volkswagen from the lineup of crossovers and SUVs at Beadmore Imports, will you choose price or a competitive finance rate? Well, how about you choose both? That's right, the 2023 VW Tiguan S with driver's assist package and third row seating is now from $29,352 and with an available APR of 4.9% for 60 months. The Taos SE from $30,996 and now available with 4.9% financing for 60 months. And the biggest SUV of them all, the Atlas SE with technology from $42,632 and a finance rate of 4.9% for 72 months. So with price, financing, and selection, the only thing you need to decide is when you'll be stopping by Piedmore Imports to drive your new VW. They're not in Car City, so you won't pay Car City prices. Piedmore Imports, 106 New Warrington Road, Pensacola.
Price before tax, tax title, and dealer fees. Special APR rate for qualifying credit through PCI. See dealer for details.
As a small business owner, what keeps you up at night? Just knowing if your email got hacked or your phone system went down, it could cost you thousands in revenue, as well as your reputation. That's where Data Revolution comes in with their unique position to take care of you and your business IT support, phone systems, cybersecurity, and more. Secure it and sleep better at night by going to datarevs.com. Winner of the 2021 Best of the Bay for IT support, datarevs.com.
Spring is a great time of the year for gardening, whether it's fertilizing the lawn, pruning, planting shrubs and summer blooming plants, and of course, tending to that vegetable garden. This is Mike Wiggins. If you've got spring gardening questions, we've got answers on the News Radio Garden Line every Tuesday morning at 9 on the Pensacola Expert Panel. And if you miss us on Tuesday, then catch the Encore Edition every Saturday morning at 9. It's sponsored by Pensacola Hardware, Blue Sky Landscaping, and Barnes Feed Store.
News Radio 92.3 is Pensacola's radio home for informative, local, and dependable news and talk. News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to remember those who have transgressed against the great spirit of inclusion and must henceforth be forever cast into the abyss of dead names. In this moment of our remembrance, we prove with great grief and wailing the sincerity of our noble tolerance. What we once wrongly allowed in the ignorance of white privilege has become the cleansing rite of virtue signaling we use to prove our purity. Join with me now as we remember those we've lost. First, organized pantries. As Loyola University Associate Professor of Marketing Jenna Drenton recently woke-splained to us all, the social media trend of showing off perfectly organized home pantries is really a form of cultural imperialism, which she calls pantry porn. As she wrote in the peer-reviewed research journal The Los Angeles Times, quote, cleanliness has historically been used as a cultural gatekeeping mechanism to reinforce status distinctions based on a vague understanding of niceness. Nice people with nice yards and nice houses make for nice neighborhoods. What lies beneath the surface of this anti-messiness, pro-niceness stance is a history of classist, racist, and sexist social structures, end quote. So true. Just think about how the anti-messiness cartel persuades middle-class white humans that their status in society is defined by enough affluence to have well-stocked pantries, as well as the time to organize them neatly and keep them clean. Pantry porn is the new version of women's high heels, footwear so absurd that its only value was to separate the high-class woman from those commoners who were so poor they had to work with their feet. Yes, the storage cleanliness industrial complex has brainwashed the weak-minded wives of this culture who already suffer the mental impairment of believing that housework is most appropriate for a woman into thinking that they are better thans just because of their pantries. Now, clearly, we know that any woman with enough time to maintain a well-stocked, tidy pantry should really be using her time surplus wearing a pink knit hat and chanting slogans in favor of reproductive rights alongside her sisterin at the steps of the legislature. No, dear Womine Sheroes, do not be seduced by the pantry porn. Put down your wicker baskets and color-coded vacuum-sealed containers and let the dust settle across your cupboard shelves. Embrace the mess, allow the clutter, and beat your Swiffer sweepers into protest signs. For it is by social activism that ye shall be saved, and not by cleaning and sorting alone. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
Second, Richard Dawkins, the famous atheist and evolutionary biologist, although perhaps no single living person has done more to advance the cause of anti-Christianity than Professor Dawkins, he said something this week which requires us to bring down the shimmering hammer of social accountability upon his wispy-haired head. Now, I do warn you, it's pretty upsetting stuff. For those of you concerned about feeling triggered, please insert the holy earplugs of ignorance distributed earlier in your authorized coping with unenlightened society personal safety pack. For those feeling slightly more brave, feel free to suck on your CBD-coated snowflake pacifier, patent pending, if that helps. All safe? Okay, here we go, but brace yourselves.
There are two sexes. You can talk about gender if you wish, and that's a subjective. As a biologist, there are two sexes, and that's all there is to it. Sex really is binary.
I know. Normally, I would not share such outlandishly incendiary nonsense in a safe space like this, the Chapel of St. Madeline the Conformist, but I want you to know just how bad this comment was. As you heard him say, he literally rejects the entire fifth dictum of the Protocols of the Elders of Science, Berlin edition, which teaches that the purpose of modern science is to validate the current moment's values regardless of evidence, reason, and history. It's almost as if he thinks somehow science is supposed to be independent of or even superior to social virtues like diversity, equity, and inclusion. Heretic! When he says gender is subjective, he's completely denying our core doctrines that gender is an absolutely objective truth about a person which only that person can know and which can change over time depending on that person's personal perspective. Like I said, objective. But of course, the real heresy here is the declaration that there are only two sexes, male and female, which he believes are defined biologically by some ridiculous indicator like chromosomes or reproductive capabilities, as if those things are even relevant in biology. And no, Professor Dawkins is not eligible for re-education in our many fine summer camps. He must simply be cast out for his blatantly unscientific belief in only two sexes. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
But really, the expungement of Richard Dawkins does give us a chance to praise those fine souls whose work he and that other unrepentant sinner Piers Morgan dared to criticize. The members of the Ecology and Evolutionary Biology Language Project, or EBLEP, who have helped identify 24 distinct terms currently used in science which should be gently euphemized, such as double-blind study, because it is ableist and marginalizes the alternately visual, survival of the fittest, for being connected to eugenics and for platforming ableism, and discovery, which denies the long-existing knowledge of indigenous communities. But for our purposes today, the most important relanguaging recommended by the EBLEPites is for scientists to stop saying the words male and female because they are heteronormative, binary, and cis-preferential. No, instead, the wizened thought leaders at EBLEP recommend we use the term sperm-producing for male and egg-producing for female. Or, if we're not wanting to marginalize prepubescent and postmenopausal persons, we should replace male with XY individual and female with XX individual. In this way, we can differentiate them not by the contours of their nether regions, but by the content of their chromosomes. Speaking only for myself as an XY sperm-producing person, I celebrate these new labels, if for no other reason than they are awkward and unnecessary, the two most important features of modern language replacement theory. Of course, we can easily see a beautiful, distant linguistic future in which we fully embrace these changes. Pastors will ask, "Do you, sperm producer Jim, take this, egg producer Susan, to be your lawfully wedded XX chromosome mating partner?" Every year in March, we can fill out a bracket for the NCAA XY Chromosome Carriers Basketball Tournament. And once and for all, we can simplify public bathrooms by offering one for sperm producers and another for egg producers, each with the respective signage picturing the relevant gamete outline rather than the current cruel and transphobic body silhouette. Oh, the sheer elegance of relanguaging. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
And now, with these cleansing rites performed, may we all go forth in loving tolerance and microaggress no more. Gametes to the left, gametes to the right, pick your doors wisely. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
I really do regret. 626 here. I really do regret not coming up with the circles on the left, swimmers on the right. Because, oh, don't give me that look, Candy. traffic on the fives.
Your own traffic.
Go ahead.
Roads are fine. We're not showing any slowdowns or delays. It's not usual that we fight. Just kidding. It is.
All the time.
It's true. Highway 90 in Avalon and Milton showing an accident, but no roadblock right in front of a Milton PSC campus, it looks like, but it has been moved off to the side. See an accident or you have a traffic tip, text it in. 437-1620, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I know.
David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David,
go ahead, take his side. Oh.
U.S. military forces launched airstrikes in Syria after an American contractor was killed, another was injured by a drone strike yesterday. NBC News Chief White House Correspondent Peter Alexander with the latest.
Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin saying, as President Biden has made clear, we will take all necessary measures to defend our people and will always respond at a time and place of our choosing, adding that no group will strike our troops with impunity.
Defense Secretary Austin confirmed that President Biden did direct those airstrikes in retaliation against Iranian-linked targets. President Biden, speaking of him, he's in Ottawa, Canada today to meet with Prime Minister Justin Trudeau. He'll be addressing the Canadian Parliament as well. And a federal appeals court has upheld a lower court decision to block the government from enforcing a requirement that federal employees be vaccinated against COVID-19. A Fifth U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals ruled that a preliminary nationwide injunction on the vaccine mandate should remain in place while the case proceeds.
All right, very good, David. Thanks so much for the update. 828 here on News Radio 92.3. If you're getting ready to buy that next vehicle, I strongly recommend Frontier Motors. It's a great place to buy a used vehicle. It's a fantastic selection of 300 or so different used vehicles on the lot. 1, 2, 3 years old, right? In low miles, great condition. In fact, the idea is that these are cars that basically are like new, but you get them at, you know, not new pricing. So you don't have to pay for that depreciation hit, the one that you get when that first tenth of a kilometer goes onto the mileage marker. So you don't have to spend that, but you can have great selection, great cars. Do like I do, you know, buy it young and drive it into the ground. You know, I've got 170,000 miles on my Civic. I got 330 on the Accord before that. I mean, you know, so that's kind of how I do, because that's the way Dave Ramsey recommends. Frontier Motors, serving the Pensacola community for more than 25 years behind the Big Buffalo on Beverly Parkway. Be sure to tell him Andrew McKay says hi. 829, and Candy, you earlier had asked me the question. You had said, you know, you were asking me about the author who wrote that that piece about pantry porn.
Yeah.
And I said, no, that's a real article. That's a Los Angeles Times article, the title of which is "What's with all the pantry porn on Instagram and TikTok?" Like, that's a real...
Turns out...
People think I make this stuff. I do not make the stories up.
I thought you were making fun of me because you always are making fun. I know.
But no, it's these are real stories.
That is all I watch.
The EBLAT people, now they don't say it that way, but the Ecology and Evolutionary Biology Language Project is a real thing with 24 real terms that they've identified, including male and female, that has to go away.
I believe that's
not,
a real thing.
I mean, not for you. I just mean, like, in general. People think I make this stuff up. I don't have to. I cannot keep up with how fast they're canceling things. David Wayne has got your local news coming up next after Fox.
Syria, hours after an attack killing an American contractor.
The Pentagon says it retaliated for an Iranian-backed drone attack on U.S. forces in Syria. The U.S. counterattack reportedly left an unconfirmed number of people killed that Secretary of Defense Lloyd Austin says are people who engage in attacks against U.S. forces and who are loyal to Iran's regime and Revolutionary Guard.
Fox's Evan Brown, there are no injuries or damage reported after another rocket attack on a U.S. base in Syria. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning. It's 8:31 News Radio 92.3 right now. Sunshine. It is 69 degrees here in Pensacola. Starting out.
Breaking news on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Seeing reports of a body being found this morning that had been possibly shot and dumped on Buckingham Road in Escambia County. This body found by a woman that was walking along the road this morning. Deputies say a vehicle was seen driving away from that scene. Again, not a lot of information as of right now on this, but we'll be following this investigation throughout the day. The state fire marshal's office says a fire that destroyed two storage units at an Escambia County business is suspicious in nature. Now, this fire was called in just after 9 o'clock yesterday morning at Prime Storage on 9 Mile. And Channel 3 reports that a witness saw a truck driving away from that storage unit that, as it was engulfed in flames. Fire crews were able to contain the damage there to just two storage units, but six others were damaged by smoke. Escambia County leaders have hired a Louisiana-based firm to put together the Beulah Master Plan.
It's going to be a very public process. We've already done, 14 public meetings, 14 months worth of public meetings. We had a tremendous response to the survey via UWF. I mean, thousands and thousands of people. So this firm is going to start out with on a really firm footing of knowing what that community wants.
Commissioner Jeff Bergosh and the board approved a $581,220 contract with Sigma Consulting Group. It was the third time the county had solicited bids for that master plan. Now, the last time, the only firm that bid was DPZ, who the board passed over after a contentious process on the OLF-8 master plan. City of Pensacola hoping to open that Blake Doyle skate park by May 2nd.
You know, I can tell you all the feedback and emails and people on the street that we get that ask about this project and when it's going to be done and how excited they are. So I'm just really, really fortunate to be able to be a part of it.
And that's Pensacola Mayor D.C. Reeves. He and other city leaders gave the media a sneak peek at the park yesterday. You can check out Andrew McKay's video on the News Radio 92.3 Facebook page. Hopefully we'll have video of him actually skating the park at a later date. It was almost a tragedy recently. A Pensacola woman facing child cruelty charges after a one-year-old almost drowned in a bathtub. Rebecca Greer, 31 years old, was arrested this week after allegedly leaving her young child in a bathtub with another child watching her. Well, that child left the room temporarily, and when she returned, the one-year-old was motionless in the bathtub.
Fortunately, 911 was called after siblings saw that the baby was in trouble. 911 was called, and Pensacola police officers arrived quickly and began life-saving measures on this one-year-old, and I'm glad to say that the baby's going to be fine.
And that's PPD's Mike Wood there, and he says they are lucky that officers were able to get there as fast as they did and save that child's life. The mother, Rebecca Greer, was booked into the county jail on child cruelty charges. She's since been released on $5,000 bond. It is 8:35 at News Radio 92.3. Let's get a look at our traffic on the fives with Candy.
And hopefully we don't see Andrew McKay skating at that park. Otherwise, it'll just be you and me.
That's right. We can't handle that.
That's right. No offense, Andrew. Oh.
Taken.
I wasn't sure if I talked loud enough for you to hear me. Highway 90 in Avalon showing an accident in front of the PSC Milton campus, but not showing a roadblock. It has been moved on to the side. 29 in Diamond Dairy showing a vehicle crash. A little slow, but not a roadblock. And certainly, if you have a traffic tip, text it in 437-1620. It's News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Thank you very much for that update.
It's going to be a warm and humid day today with temperatures warming near 79 degrees. Partly cloudy skies with showers and thunderstorms possible through the overnight period. Overnight tonight, temperatures staying warm in the upper 60s. As you head into Saturday, showers and thunderstorms through the morning and early afternoon. A few storms could be strong. High on Saturday in the 80s. Saturday night, temperatures dropping in the 50s. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Morning Weather Center.
And right now, it is sunny and 69 in Pensacola, 69 in Gulf Breeze, 1 degree cooler, 68 in Milton. All right, and your money now. Stock market this morning is down. The Dow down 164.72 at 31,940.53. The S&P 500 down 20.38 at 39,28.34. And the NASDAQ down 61.65 at 11,725.75. Your U.S. 10-year bond rate this morning at 3.309%. And I clicked on the wrong thing here. Where is the gold price? The gold price this morning is up at 2001. The silver price at $23.57 this morning. Former CEOs of the failed Silicon Valley Bank and Signature Bank are being called to testify before Congress. The chairman and ranking member of the Senate Banking Committee said the former executives are going to have to answer for their bank's failures that sparked concerns over the financial system. Those protests are turning violent in Paris. Folks are protesting measures to raise the retirement age there. Tear gas had to be used yesterday. And there's a new survey finds younger people don't mind paying more to see movies so long as they get the best seats in the house.
It was just like a movie.
The survey from Morning Consult found that 54% of 18 to 26-year-old Gen Z ticket buyers and 46% of millennials, 27 to 42-year-olds, said charging the most for the most desirable seats is appropriate for movie theater chains. Only 32% of 43 to 58-year-old Gen X respondents and 22% of 58 to 76-year-old baby boomers felt the same. I'm Michael Kastner.
It is 8:37. Our next news at 9. We've got breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne. News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
News Radio 92.3 is Pensacola's radio home for informative, local, and dependable news and talk. Listen to local talk in your morning and afternoon drive. Local experts during the day with the Pensacola Expert Panel. And national talk with Brian Kilmeade and Dave Ramsey. Listen to local news and Fox News at the top and bottom of every hour. Along with WEAR News during your afternoon drive and at 10 p.m. We have your traffic on the fives during your commute. And when breaking news hits, we have you covered. News Radio 92.3, now heard on 95.3 and AM 1620.
I said a hip hop, the hip hop, you don't stop. Rap.
I will definitely call you back later then.
Come on, wrap it up.
Big sharp it up.
Okay, you know what? Wrap up the circle thing. Come on.
Mr. Parker, wrap it up, please.
Okay.
Okay, everybody, that's a wrap.
That's a wrap. It's time to talk about the news of the week, events that are going on, and share a little bit of airspace with a couple of friends. In this case, we have Lisa Newell, the publisher of the Gulf Breeze News, is sitting in. She's kind of watching a little bit today because next time I go on a break, she's going to come in and fill in for me. So I'm super excited about that. Right, Lisa?
Well, I'm not worthy. May I just say?
No, you're going to have a blast. It's going to be good.
Yeah!
And then because, you know, always looking for good people to do that as well. And Butch Hansen, who's been on the rap many, many times, and along with his wife, Leah. As I like to say, the sweetest, most incognito, super military power couple. Well, she was commanding a wing, the first wing commander, female wing commander in the Navy. He was commanding the Atlantic nuclear missile boat fleet back in the day. So key component of our nuclear triad. Butch, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News.
Always a pleasure.
Let's start with Gulf Breeze, Lisa, since that's your bailiwick, if you don't mind me enhancing our vocabulary for the day. Gulf Breeze Arts Festival tomorrow and Sunday, right?
So exciting. You know, this is a beautiful weekend. We're going to have excellent weather. I mean, I love to go out there. I'm not really artistically inclined, I just must say that. But I do appreciate people who are artistically inclined, and I love to see what they've done. They're so creative. There's everything from wood turning to pastels. There's photography, sculpture. There's also an opportunity for you to eat and listen to some music. They're going to have, actually, Finn the dolphin is going to be there, which is so exciting because this is a sculptural dolphin that they've made out of wire, and you can put your aluminum cans in it. And they're kind of trying to get people to understand, put their trash away, and you can see the cans as they accumulate, so it's kind of exciting. Anyway, it's going to be beautiful. I really love to eat those little nuts they have there. It's one of the things forward to. And of course, we're just excited about it. It's in the Gulf Breeze High School parking lot. It's going to be from 9 to 5 on Saturday, 9 to 4 on Sunday. And just an iconic vision of seeing all those little white tents out there. Really beautiful, and I'm excited.
You know, my favorite thing to do at the Gulf Breeze Arts is to go into the school and look at all the kids' art.
And the hat ladies will be in there making those hats, too. The Santa Rosa Women's Club
It's amazing.
Those hats. So great.
Because I do the same thing like at the fair. You know, when I go to the fair, I like to go wander around the exhibit halls and see all, you know, the flowers for competition and the models for competition, just, you know, all the stuff that, and the kids and what they produce and the photography. It's a museum.
It
on
is.
Display, and the same thing for the Gulf Breeze Arts. It's a museum on display in Gulf Breeze.
Well, you know that the art museum or the art festival actually returns so much money every year to art programs in our county, and so a lot of the things that you see inside was really directly funded by this art festival. So if you are into art at all, or you just like to get out and have a nice stroll, everything that you do, everything that you buy, every sponsorship goes toward helping art education. So it's fantastic.
Now, Butch, you are also, you have an event coming up tomorrow because, as people who listen a lot might know this, but those who don't might not, you have a long history of working with the Foundation for the Veterans Memorial Park, but you are also on the board, both you and Lee are on the board for the Chappie James Monument space that is going to go in at the Wayside Park on the northbound approach to Pensacola when that all gets finished, right?
Exactly, and we're so thrilled that the bridge is almost complete. And we can't wait to hear Candy talking about the General Chappie James Bridge on her traffic report.
Which is exactly what I'm going to do from this day forward forever.
That's right.
And we've talked a little bit to the chief of police and the sheriff maybe, and if we get those guys to start calling it the Chappie or whatever y'all come up with, we think it'll be great. But we've been working quietly to develop this memorial that'll be on the landing of the Pensacola side of the bridge. And in that work, we've acquired and restored the F-4 Phantom jet that will be displayed there and got the funding for the 80-foot flagpole that'll be there. And
the Phantom is ready?
It's over at the Naval Aviation Museum.
Just waiting for a pedestal,
It's been restored, and the pedestal will be made, the next thing to do is build that plaza, that memorial plaza. And the 10-foot statue is just about ready to go to the foundry. And so what's important about this weekend's event is that the focal point of this memorial park, that 10-foot statue, larger-than-life statue of General James, and he was a larger-than-life person. His patriotism, enthusiasm, tenacity to become the first African American to be a four-star general in our military and a Pensacola native nonetheless is just amazing. But we commissioned Mr. Ed Dwight, a trailblazer in his own right. He was an Air Force test pilot. He was the first African-American astronaut candidate.
Really?
Absolutely. And I met him last night in person, and he is absolutely an amazing person, has more stories than you can imagine. Flew over 25 different fighter planes in his Air Force career. And
25 different fighter? Wow.
Yes.
All right.
Because this was the 60s.
When things were changing, right.
The whole the Century series of all the F-100s through however many. But
how old is he?
He's close to 90 years
close
old.
Close to 90?
And this may be his last project. But we have a Meet the Sculptor event at the Artel Gallery Saturday evening from 6 to 8. And it's a fundraising. We've been quietly raising funds, and we like I said, we've got all the elements of the plaza ready to go. Now we need to build the plaza, and we're working on fundraising for that. And, you know, Mr. Dwight is at the Dixon School of the Arts and Science this morning to encourage those kids in conjunction with the Chappie James Flight Academy. So it's a big event for us, and anybody that wants to help participate, we think this is a great project that will instill the spirit of General James, a native son, bigger than life, person in his career. You know, unfortunately, he passed away within weeks of retiring from the military, and so we want to continue his legacy that's long overdue
in this community. I've been a big supporter of this project because I love the idea that when you're approaching Pensacola now, you know, from the north, you're going to see the water tower. When you're approaching it from the south through Gulf Breeze, you're going to see the jet, an F-4 Phantom, decked out in Air Force colors, not in Blue Angels, because that's what he flew. He was in Air Force, right?
Exactly.
But the statue and the flag and everything. And I love that you've got the first black candidate for first black astronaut became the, you know, first is the sculptor for the first black four-star general. I mean, just it's very cool. And, you know, I told you before, I probably won't be able to go tomorrow night because we had a pre-existing commitment. But you talking about it makes me realize my son will probably want to go because he is absolutely into that era of fighter jets, so he may, you know, to talk to a guy who flew all those, that'll be fantastic.
Yeah.
We're talking to Butch Hansen and Lisa Newell here on The Wrap. We're going to get a quick traffic on the fives from Candy.
We can help ECUA ensure recyclable materials are processed correctly and keep the recycling program on track. Go to livegreenecua.com or download the Recycle Coach app today. Highway 98 and Gulf Breeze near the school, not showing any slowdowns where that fabulous arts festival is going to be, and the General Chappie James Bridge is flowing smoothly near where that gorgeous 10-foot monument is going to stand. We're very excited about that. Thank you guys so much for joining us. Traffic tips, text 437-1620, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Very good, Candy. But you seem like there was one other thing you wanted to say, or did I?
I was just saying, Ed Dwight's done over 130 different sculptures that are all over this country that characterize the contribution to our culture of the African-American community.
That's fantastic, man.
He's truly an amazing figure.
Well, one of the things that I had wanted, particularly Butch, I wanted to ask you about, and I'm obviously curious to get your take on this as well, Lisa, but we've had this high focus on diversity, equity, and inclusion in the military over the last couple of weeks. You know, some of the leaders in the military have been appearing before Congress testifying about this. One of my favorite defense military-related websites, Defense One, did a whole series of interviews with all of the civilian commanders, the Marine Commandant, for example. And they talked about all kinds of issues related to military things, but they asked each of them about this issue in particular, whether DEI initiatives in the military are harming the recruitment and retention and training, getting in the way of war fighting. Rick Scott was on the program last week, and he said, absolutely, this is a problem for us because it's hindering our war fighting ability. They say, no, this is building teamwork, and this is essential for the modern, multifaceted, diversity and inclusive military. I feel like I don't know. I've heard what people have said. I've certainly not served in the military. Your thoughts, Butch?
I don't see how it can help. That's all I can say about that. You add a whole new level of training and that's required. And it seems like with every new generation, every new administration, there's another special thing you want to heap on the social experiment. They want to be the United States military. Anything that detracts from doing our mission, which is, to break things and kill people when necessary, among all the other peacekeeping events, it's a wide spectrum of missions that we're ready for, that need to be ready for, and have trouble doing. Now, every one of these things to add, I just say, when I commanded a ship, when I commanded a squadron of ships, I never went to bed with my inbox empty. And this can't do anything but add additional things to everybody's plate in the military.
So distraction, essentially.
Distraction,
And if you compare, say, the military training of Chinese, or the military training of the Russians, they're not hindered by this.
Sure. And there's lots of things that impact recruiting.
Yeah.
From closing bases, the military's not visible to its as big a slice of our population as it used to be. Changes in attitudes. I mean, the press changes that. If every other thing you read about the military is negative, who wants to join that? And you add this.
One more controversy.
It's right.
Lisa, your thoughts about the DEI stuff in the military?
I'm just so happy to see that there are so many females being given positions of authority, which in the past was not really that was just unbelievable to think of a woman pilot. And we just saw these pilots flying over the Super Bowl. And I think that, you know, maybe they were considered a diversity hire at one point, but I think they've shown that they're more than capable of the task. So I think it's great. I love to see diversity in every walk of life.
And, you know, one thing that does occur to me, even though I'm generally with you on this, Butch, I do, you know, I'm aware of, like, there was a time when, obviously, the presence of black Americans in the military was, that was, people called it a social experiment, right? That was something that was very difficult to accomplish, you know, long time coming. You had, you know, separate but equal and very much not equal for a long time. And then here we are celebrating, you know, Chappie James and all these folks. And I think the advocates of the DEI would say, well, we've done this with black Americans and we've done this with women. Why can't we do this also with, you know, everybody?
Well, you know, my wife, and I appreciate all the comments, my wife compares her experience with that of General James. I mean, he rose through the ranks like that, got those opportunities when the military was just integrating. I mean, he was a Tuskegee Airman that was commissioned during World War II. And the military hadn't even been integrated yet at all. Mm-hmm. And then you bring, and my wife saw similar things coming in as one of the first female aviators and the same discrimination, and they worked through. But the difference, I guess the difference is the military is effective when it's a team. And so the more the whole boot camp experience and everything is to tear everybody down and build a team. We're all the same. We're all work together. And that's exactly what General James always preached, and the female leaders too, and that's what they and that's what we have to do, and don't concentrate on the individual but the team.
Yeah, that ongoing that sort of adamant effort to preserve individuality based on these kinds of differences doesn't seem quite compatible with the idea of we're making you all the same in the end in order to be the warfighting machine.
Exactly. And what General James' quote was, excellence has no color.
You know, I'm surprised there has never been a movie made about him, because reading what I've read about him was unbelievable.
Point.
It would be an amazing movie. And when that book, the movie came out recently, The Valor, or was it Valor?
Devotion.
Mm-hmm. I thought, oh my gosh, this looks like it's going to be about General James. And I've always thought they should have a movie about him, and it wasn't. But I still am wondering, why hasn't Hollywood picked on that? That's a great topic.
We're working on that also.
Oh, great.
Listen to that.
I'm so glad, because that would be a movie I think would blow everybody out of the water. It's his life story alone is great, and then, of course, his accomplishments in the military, so inspiring.
Well, and we talked about this, I think, the last time you were on the Wrap, Butch, that the one of the challenges you have is that era, you know, the Vietnam era and the Korean War era are eras in the Korean War one where it's just like, It's a total gap in our storytelling that people just aren't aware. And so Devotion, this really first major movie about that era. And then the Vietnam War era was so dominated by things that were anti-military or satirical of the military. Or, you know, MASH, the Korean War, was very satirical about the military. And so, you know, as you said, how do you recruit people into this endeavor when we've done so much to downgrade and, you know, criticize it, and particularly telling stories from those eras where they had such a negative presentation in the media, right?
Exactly. And, you know, General James had a similar event in his career as that Devotion with his wingman in a problem like that, which we just recently learned about. But, we had Dale Dye here, and Dale was the military advisor. He ran into a guy that, after he was a hero himself of the Vietnam War and Korea, and he's been part of making movies like Saving Private Ryan and Platoon, and he's got 60 some credits along those lines. And I when he was here, I asked him about General James and a project like that, and he says, I used to work for General James.
Oh, wow.
And General
wow.
James was the spokesperson for the Pentagon, and Dale Dye was in that office with him, and he immensely respected General James. But so maybe something will happen there. But also, Jill Hubbs at WSRE is interested in doing a documentary.
Oh, okay, great.
So. Definitely.
You know what it made me think of? I guess I'd never, it dawned on me before, but it seems like any Medal of Honor winner's story is probably a movie.
Sure. You're probably
right. And yeah. We have some, you know, certainly there have been some, but, I'm a bit surprised that nobody in Hollywood ever had the idea like, Medal of Honor 8. Medal of Honor 9. I mean, we could, you have built in, based on a true story, narratives that are compelling,
they're
patriotic, gripping.
No one would believe them. They're too crazy.
But that's, I mean, wouldn't that be a great series? Like, you know, what are you doing tomorrow? Oh, we're going to see Medal of Honor 48. I mean, you could make an enormous amount of money.
I've always said, truth is so much stranger than fiction. It really is. You just can't make that stuff up.
Yeah, absolutely.
You can't make it up.
We're talking, it's the wrap right now. We've got Lisa Newell and Butch Hansen here in studio with me. Candy's got traffic on the fives.
And taking a look around, good news is we're not showing many slowdowns or delays. 90 in Avalon showing an accident, but no roadblock. And then Shamukla Highway and Highway 90, there is a vehicle crash with a roadblock that just popped up. The roadway may be blocked and area use caution. Then again, that's Shamukla Highway and Highway 90, and technically it's Pace. And certainly if you see an accident or a slowdown, you could text it in if you would. 437-1620, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Thanks so much, Candy. Switching gears a little bit, let's talk about Tallahassee for just a second, because it's a lot of stuff going on in Tallahassee, and I know you all are very big supporters of everything that you know. let's do this first. Do you think DeSantis is going to run?
Yes.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, he hasn't said so officially, but now finally pushing back against Trump, I mean, it looks obvious to all the world, like he's going to run. Okay, that being said, do you feel like what he's doing and what the legislature is doing often with his approval is what the critics say, which is we're just running for president here in Florida early? Or do you think he's really just, these are the things that need to be done. I want to get as much of it done before I run for president and get out of here as I can. I'm torn on that, frankly, because I can see both sides. That we're doing this for the news value to generate buzz and to make sure that everybody knows my name. Even if they know it wrong, they know my name. Or this is the stuff that he's been wanting to do and he wants to get it done before he's out of office. Lisa?
I think he's doing a lot of missteps, personally. I think that a lot of the things he's doing and getting a lot of attention for are going to be very detrimental to his presidential bid.
Do you have any in mind for this?
Well, I do feel like, I mean, there's so many things. It's hard, but he's running the state like it's the Puritanical era, it just becomes more ludicrous every day. It's just hard to believe that some of the things that he's telling you can't do in the book banning. And even though some people think it's good, I have to say I'm against book banning in all forms. I think that we need to have open ideas, and he's trying to limit journalists. I'm very opposed to that. I think that's a very strange way to try to get his message across. There's just a lot of things he's doing I think are very scary.
You would, I mean, I know you say you're against book bans, and generally I am as well, but you would agree that, like, for example, grade schoolers don't need to be reading porn. I mean, there are limits, right?
Do you really think that our schools are showing porn?
I think in the library in some cases, yeah. I mean, for example, minors shouldn't have access to some things, apart from the school issue.
I don't believe that the schools are having porn. I really don't. I mean, I feel like some of these books, if we have a kindergartner reading a book about lesbian and gay themes, I think that that would be incredible that they could read that well. I don't think that's really something we need to really concentrate on. There's so many other big problems. We have kids going through active shooter drills every so many days. I just feel like that's what we need to really concentrate on.
Butch, we ran out of time. I know you're so sad. There's not enough time. There's 10 seconds. Hey, I just want to say thank you.
You're right, there's not.
Thank you to both of us for joining me today. It is an absolute honor. Thanks for spending some time. I appreciate you guys. See you Monday.
You're listening to News Radio 92.3.